I'm Lauren.
And this is Mike.
And you're listening to Marriage is a Scream.
Marriage is a very chilly scream tonight.
With some meows.
It's cold.
With some meows.
With some meows?
Meows.
Oh, yes. Hansel.
Meow.
Our cat Hansel. At some point, you will most likely hear his meows. Yes. So,
he's a talker.
He's a very loud meower. And he doesn't stop.
He does not stop.
So finally, we're doing our episode on mermaids.
I am looking forward to this episode.
I'm super excited. So, you know, doing the research for this reminded me a lot of when I was younger. And you'd go to the library in school and they would read us like the original versions of Cinderella and stuff.
I remember. And then, yeah, I remember when I was younger, they read them to us off of stone tablets.
Those dad jokes. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, our libraries were smaller, much heavier.
Yeah, Michael doesn't know how to read, so this is a really sore subject for him.
Good pictures. Well, duh, man, mermaid pictures, good books. It was the National Geographic of our days.
Right now.
Oh, I still don't use words in those other books either. You're they have sicko. Good pictures.
Ew.
In fact, I didn't know they had words.
Oh, man. Anyways, as I was saying.
Before I so rudely interrupted.
Like you do. That's your thing.
It's okay.
You know, you'd read the typical version of Cinderella. But then they had like all of the other versions of it too, mm-hmm. from like different places, which was fun. And this reminds me a lot of that because the mermaid mythology, the story has been passed down. It's been running around since like 1000 BC.
Swimming around. They can't run around.
Flipping around.
Yeah.
Who says flipping your fins you don't get too far?
Apparently, they got pretty far.
They got really far. They got all over the world. So, I'm not going to talk about every single story from every place that has a story about mermaids, but we're going to talk about a lot of fun stuff.
Will we cover Peter Pan?
I don't know why you would think that we would cover Peter Pan.
There's mermaids in there.
No.
Tiger Lily was a mermaid.
We're not going to talk about Peter Pan. I'm so sorry.
Oh.
For people who are looking forward to Peter Pan.
Duh.
Okay, so the first known stories about mermaids flipped their fins right into history at about 1000 BC in Assyria. Assyria is currently located in what is now known as northern Iraq and southeastern Turkey. So what's happening in the world in 1000 BC? The Iron Age has just begun. Rice is being cultivated in Japan. And the Phoenician alphabet is invented.
Hmm.
So that places us in history a little bit. Atargatis was the chief goddess of northern Syria in 1000 BC. She was mostly the goddess of fertility, but she was also the protector of her city and her people. In Syria, men used to castrate themselves in honor of her.
Well, there's many a crazy thing men have done for the love of a woman.
So much for fertility.
Right. But that just seems absolutely counterproductive.
Don't worry, because that was completely thrown out when King Abgar commanded that anyone who emasculated himself should have a hand cut off. And so everyone pretty much ditched that idea. Never mind, just kidding. We're not doing this anymore.
We know what you did.
He's not using that hand anyways.
Well, it's like a stranger.
Anyways, Atargatis loved a mortal shepherd and unintentionally killed him. She was so ashamed that she jumped into the lake and transformed into a fish.
How did she unintentionally kill him?
Because she was a goddess and he was a shepherd and she just was so powerful and he just ended up dying. I don't know.
A very modern day Black Widow relationship.
Sure, kind of. But okay. She was very distraught over it. She was very upset. So normally when gods or goddesses jumped into the water, they would turn into fish. But the waters refused to hide her divine beauty. So after that, she just took the form of half human and half fish. So a mermaid.
Okay. A mermaid.
It was her first mermaid. She was human above the waist and fish below. Some earlier representations showed her as a fish with a human head and an arm.
An arm.
An arm.
One just arm.
One arm.
So she was a hot fish with one arm.
Well, her face was pretty nice, I'm sure.
That's she's hot, yeah.
The rest, it literally just says she's a fish, like, body. Like, she has the body of a fish, and then it's just, like, a human head on the body of a fish. And one single arm.
Okay. Sounds, maybe not all that hot.
Sounds strange to me, but whatever. In 546 BC, Milesian philosopher Anaximander.
Or salamander.
Yeah. Had the idea that mankind came from an aquatic animal species. He thought humans who start out life with a prolonged infancy could not have survived otherwise.
Okay.
So. Pliny the Elder, who was a navy and army commander of the early Roman Empire and a naturalist slash natural philosopher, claimed to have seen mermaids on numerous accounts.
Now, this is where it gets good. I want to talk. Hopefully, we spend some time talking about the
sightings. Yeah, we do. Not quite yet. That's just one. But we will talk about a few sightings.
So what happened when he saw her? He just, hey, I saw a mermaid. That's it. It's just a historical report. Him. All right. Yeah.
Maybe you can.
It's too cold now.
Pray to Pliny the Elder.
It's too cold now. All of the water is frozen.
So 1001 Nights is a collection of Middle Eastern folktales written in Arabic during the Islamic Golden Age. You might know it better as the Arabian Nights, which was the first English language edition circa 1706. In the collection, many of the tales featured sea people, such as Julinar, the seaborn, and her son King Badr Basim of Persia. Unlike our previous depictions of mermaids and other mythologies, these ones look just like earthbound humans. They look completely normal. The only difference was their ability to breathe and even live underwater.
Okay.
They can also interbreed with humans, and the offspring of the two are able to live underwater as well. So mermaid plus human equals mermaid.
Interesting math. So human is the recessive in it.
Well, I mean, the mermaids have human qualities as well. They can live
but on Earth if they there's want still to. No flippers at this point. This is normal people that can live underwater.
I don't know. Maybe they develop flippers once they get in the water. You know?
Yeah.
In the tale of Abdullah, the fisherman, and Abdullah, the merman, a fisherman gains the ability to breathe underwater and makes a magical discovery. An underwater society, which follows a primitive form of communism, where things like money and clothing are not real. Another tale called The Adventures of Bulukia. Bulukia is searching for the herb of immortality, because who isn't?
Right.
This quest leads him to an exploration of the sea where he discovers societies of mermaids. So we also have some mermaids in Britain and Ireland. The Norman chapel in Durham Castle, which was built around 1078 by Saxon stonemasons, has probably the earliest surviving depiction of a mermaid in England.
So as you're doing this research, here's a question. The tales of the mermaid, like a lot of times you'll see, like, you know, we watch those shows like Ancient Aliens, or I watch them and you call them boring, where where you'll see similar depictions and similar timelines, but during that period of time, it would have been impossible
for them to
for have communicated to each other saying, hey, I saw this. Hey, yeah, let's draw this picture. Did this develop the same way?
Just consider most of this stuff is happening in 1000 BC. So in 1000 BC, the mermaid depictions are all over the place. Now we're in 1078. It's highly unlikely for somebody in England to have been talking to somebody.
So you're 2,078 years later.
Yeah.
And so they didn't have Twitter, so they used Flipper.
Apparently, no.
No. I was going
there's no social media.
I was making another run at a dad joke there.
Yeah, but there's still no social media. So I don't know how they
know. It's stone tablets. Yeah, but I'm just... So what I'm saying is, if to add credence to the reality, is there really a mermaid? So if one person on one side of the world says, I saw it, then another person all the way on the other side of the world says, I saw it, and it's similar time frames or whatever, but no way for them to tell each other a story, it seems to add some credence to the fact that
mermaid there might could be Leo. Mermaids. Yeah. Maybe. I'll actually talk to you about Christopher Columbus a little bit later and what they think that he saw. So mermaids appear in British folklore as a bad omen. They predict disaster and they provoke it.
It's because it's a woman.
Sir Patrick Spens. Yeah, the men of the world don't cause any kind of destruction. Sir Patrick Spens is one of the most popular child ballads and has Scottish origins. The ballad is about a disaster at sea. In this ballad, it depicts a mermaid speaking to the doomed ships. In some versions, she tells them they will never see land again. In another, she tells them they are near the shore. They know that both of these things are the same. Mermaids are also seen as a sign that bad weather is coming, and some have even been described as monstrous in size, up to 2,000 feet.
That's a big mermaid. A
big mermaid.
A 2,000-foot mermaid.
History suggests that mermaids...
Okay, just for one second. I just have to stop for a second. So, head to tail, 2,000 feet.
Yeah.
And half human, half
fish.
Yeah. That's a big girl.
And remember, you know, they depict mermaids with those weird clamshell bras or whatever. That's not a thing.
No, there'd be no
naked up top. So
right, there'd be no clamshell that big.
Huge boobs.
Huge boobs. That mean you could really motorboat.
Too far.
As,
well, there goes the first edit out.
That doesn't need to be an edit. That's a good fish joke. Motorboat, mermaid. That's perfect. Leave that in.
That's awful.
I'm asking our listeners to beg for that to be left in.
If I edit it out, they'll never know.
That's rude.
Okay. History suggests that mermaids are murderous, but have also been able to help with cures to diseases for human beings. Mermaids are also different than mermen, with that difference being mermen are wild and ugly and rarely want anything to do with humans.
So there's not a lot of difference today in the human, right? We're wild and ugly and don't want to do much with anybody. You guys
okay.
are hot.
Oh, jeez. There is a legend that a mermaid came to the Cornish village of Zenor, where she used to listen to the singing of a man, Matthew Truhella. The two fell in love, and he ran away with her to Pendor Cove. It is said that on summer nights, they can be heard singing together. At the Church of St. Sanara in Zenor, there is a famous chair decorated by a mermaid carving, which is probably 600 years old.
Oh, that's cool.
In Western Europe, the alchemist Paracelsus, he wrote this thing in 1566, and which brought about the idea that a water sprite could gain an immortal soul through marriage with a human. This led to the most famous literary tale of mermaids that there is.
Not The Little Mermaid.
The Little Mermaid by Hans Christian Andersen. So, we know The Little Mermaid. I'm completely going off script. This is completely by memory, so if I forget stuff.
Okay.
So, The Little Mermaid we know, depicted by Disney, is...
A
cute little redheaded mermaid that swims around and wants to walk on land and blah 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 and has a cute little fish friend, right?
Right.
That's not what the book is about.
I thought mermaids were typically, like you were saying earlier, pretty vicious.
Not in the story though. Oh. Not in this. In the Little Mermaid story, in the book, So the Little Mermaid has her dad and she has her grandmother and she has like, I think, five sisters. And every single year, one of the sisters gets to go onto land for a day. Not like actually on land because they can't walk on land, but they get to go up to the shore and see what's going on and whatever. And when it comes to be her turn, she goes up and she stumbles upon a ship. And on the ship, there's a party for the prince. And she sees the prince and she falls in love with him. And a storm occurs and the boat, like the prince is like thrown overboard, and she saves him, but she swims away before he wakes up, and a girl on shore finds him and comes to his aid.
And takes the credit for it.
No, not yet. I don't know if she actually takes the credit for it, because he doesn't even know who saves him at all. So she goes down and she's asking her grandmother, are humans immortal? Can they live forever? And her grandmother's like, no, actually they live less, like their lifespan is less than a mermaid's lifespan. A mermaid's lifespan is 300 years. But humans have an immortal soul. So when humans die, their souls go to heaven and they live forever in heaven. And the mermaid's like, well, I want an immortal soul. Like, I'm in love with this prince. I want to have an immortal soul so I can spend forever with him. And so she goes to this, like the equivalent of a bad neighborhood for the sea.
The other side of the tracks.
She goes downtown.
She crosses.
Downtown in the sea.
She crosses the reef.
Okay.
She goes down to a dive bar.
Okay, you're done. Anyways. So she goes to this part of the sea, and there's a sea witch there, which as we know her, Ursula.
Oh, Ursula, yes.
Is the sea witch.
Is that her name in Hans Christian Andersen's story too?
I don't think so. I'm not sure. Ursula in the movie, as we know, she trades Ariel, her legs. She gives her legs as long as she can have Ariel's voice. That's not what happens in the book. Yes, the witch does take her voice, but along with it, she takes her tongue.
Oh, well, that'd be a way to take the voice.
So, I don't think her name is Ariel in the book. This little mermaid can't speak at all. There's no noises coming out of her. So, the witch tells her that she has to drink the potion she gave her on land so she can get her legs. The only bad part about this is that she's going to feel like she is being cut in half.
Yay.
So, but that's okay, because as soon as that wears off, she's going to be able to dance better than anybody else.
So Ursula is an early form of a pharmaceutical salesperson.
Yeah. I don't know why we're calling her Ursula. I don't think that's her name in the book. But the sea witch tells her, hey, it's fine. You'll be able to dance so well when this is over. But there's another bad part. Every time you walk at all, it will feel like you are standing on a bunch of knives.
Okay, so I'm still sticking with
And your feet will bleed.
Yep.
Very badly.
Yep. I'm still sticking with every commercial we see for some kind of pharmaceutical. You have itchy, watery eyes, but the side effects are everything
death.
From thoughts of suicide to anal seepage. I would keep the itchy, watery eyes. I mean, there's just far too many side effects. So this poor young girl wants to have an immortal soul, wants to fall in love, wants legs, but in order to have all this, she's going to feel like she was cut in half. She's going to...
Only temporarily.
Okay, great. I'm sure that's fantastic. But then every time she stands after that, it's like she's walking on glass.
Knives. It's like she's being stabbed in the feet and she's constantly bleeding. Wouldn't you think that people around you would think that was hecka weird?
You'd be walking weird.
Like if you're bleeding all the time, all over the place. Like, ugh, gross.
Well, I'm not going to
touch
that.
Does anyone else smell iron?
Yeah, ew.
So yeah, she's like, oh yeah, it's fine. That's cool. I love this guy. I'm going to do it. But the sea witch tells her another stipulation. So you're going to go through all this stuff and whatever, and this is going to happen. And that's okay, because you're going to have your legs. It's going to really hurt to have your feet, but whatever.
You get love.
Love is love is love.
And an immortal soul.
And the only way you get this immortal soul is if the prince falls in love with you and marries you. And if he does not, and if he marries somebody else, then you turn to seafoam and you cease to exist.
That's a pretty big risk.
Yeah, but she's like, it's fine. I love this guy. I saved his life. He'll know it was me. I love him too. I'm doing it.
All right, standard teenage
girl. So, yeah. So she goes up to the shore, to the land, and she takes the serum or whatever, and all this crazy stuff happens, and the prince legitimately seems to love her. He's hanging out with her all the time. He's confiding in her.
They're going to the movies.
They're hanging out. They're going to the drive-through.
They're having sardines on their pizza.
You know, the norm.
Yeah.
Okay. And then his parents are like, no, you need to marry this princess from, like, the next kingdom over. And he's like, I don't want to marry this princess because I don't know her and I don't love her. And I only love the woman, the person that saved me, that saved my life. And that's the only person I'm going to marry. But the mermaid cannot tell him this because she's mute. There's nothing. And so he is led to believe that the princess in the next kingdom is the one that saved him.
Rude.
And he marries her.
Uh-oh.
So that night after he marries this princess, the new princess, the mermaid's there on this boat or whatever, and she's just kind of awaiting her death.
The pink foam.
And her sisters show up, and all of them are missing their hair.
Oh.
Because they basically sold their hair to the sea witch so that the sea witch would help their sister.
Oh, to save their sister.
Yeah. And they bring with them this knife.
So that's the first locks for love.
Cute. So they give her this knife and they're like, look, you can come back and live your regular life and be a mermaid if you kill the prince. You have to kill him. So she sits there and she's thinking about it and she's like, no, I know that you guys no longer have any hair. That's not my problem.
You were ugly before. Now you're just ugly bald chicks.
We're not doing this. I'm not stabbing him. I still love him. It's not his fault that I can't tell him what I did. And so daybreak comes and she jumps off of the boat into the water with a knife. And she turns to seafoam. But then, magically, she basically becomes this air sprite, like this earthbound spirit, which there's many of these earthbound spirits. And the other sister earthbound spirits come to her and they tell her that because she was so selfless and because she wanted an eternal soul so badly, she was getting a chance at that. So she would get to live for the next 300 years on Earth. And at the end of the 300 years, she would be judged based on all the good deeds she did for humans. And if she did enough, then she would get her soul.
So what's the outcome?
That's it.
What? That's all we don't get to know if she made it.
She did make it. Obviously she made it. She's a good person. She didn't kill that stinking prince, even though he was a jerk.
She kind of
rude to her sisters. What do you mean, why was he a jerk?
It was his fault.
He's like hanging out with her, like, oh yeah, it's me and you. We're ride or die. And then he like hooks up with this princess from the kingdom.
That's because she had like glass feet and she cried every time they danced.
Nah, I don't know. But yeah, that's the real story. She probably made
going through the drive-thru really tough.
That's the real story of the Little Mermaid. So you're welcome.
So does it like end like that? Does it end and say that, you know?
I don't know. Yeah. I didn't actually read the book.
That'd be a good
one. That was
like
from some Cliff Notes. Oh. Okay. So
so that's the first Little Mermaid story.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And now we're going on to the new ones, like Aquaman.
No.
Oh.
So now we're going to Byzantine and Ottoman Greece. The introduction of the siren occurs.
Which is just a cranky mermaid.
Well, in these times, it depicts both a mermaid-like creature and also a bird-like creature. So sometimes it's a mermaid. Sometimes it's like half woman with like a woman with bird legs, which sounds absurd.
Seen plenty of those.
The Avion description is favored during that time period. There's a modern Greek legend that Alexander the Great's sister, Thessalonica,
yeah,
did not die, but instead turned into a mermaid. She lives in the Aegean and would commonly ask sailors on ships she would encounter only one question. Is King Alexander alive? And may God have mercy on your soul if you say anything other than, he lives and reigns and conquers the world. If you do not say this, it enrages her and she stirs up a terrible storm, dooming the ship and every sailor on board.
Oh.
So, don't fuck around.
So, he lives and reigns.
He lives and reigns and conquers the world.
I'll remember that.
If you say, dude, he died like a bajillion years ago, she's going to freak out, throw a tantrum, and you're going to die. So
I can't also say, who?
That would also probably be bad. Rasulkas are the Slavic version of sirens. They are the restless spirits of the unclean dead. They are usually the ghosts of young women who died a violent or untimely death, perhaps by murder or even suicide, before their wedding, and especially by drowning.
Well, geez, why are they considered unclean dead? They didn't do anything wrong. They were murdered.
Well, actually, I read another version where Rasulkas are women who became pregnant and threw themselves into the ocean so that they could like kill themselves.
They were just overwhelmed with their current condition, not having a man or whatever.
They are said to live in lakes and rivers. They appear as beautiful young women with long pale green hair and pale skin. They can be seen after dark dancing under the moon and calling out young men by name, luring them to the water and drowning them.
Nice.
Yeah. That sounds like a lot of women I already know.
I was thinking the same. So, a helpful hint, stay away from the water at night in the summer. And if you hear your name, go the
run
away.
Run away. Okay. We're going to take a really quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some sightings of mermaids.
So what I wanted to do, and I didn't get a chance to do it on break, I was going to look up the song by Kip Adada called Wet Dream. If you've never heard it, you really need to listen to it. It's hilarious. It's a complete parody on all fish stuff. It's like, Red Stingray. I've played it for you before.
Yeah. Get ready for lots of puns,
guys. I took it into the shop, and he said I'd blown a seal. I said, hey, keep my personal life out of this, pal, and fix the damn car. It's really Kip Adada, Wet Dream. You gotta look it up. It's hilarious. Listen to it.
I'm sorry, guys. Okay.
That's a shout out for the Kipster.
So, of course, there are many other places that have tales of mermaids. That's just what we covered. And I don't want to suck out too much time talking about that because we have other stuff that we have to talk about.
Well, I'd say it's going swimmingly.
Just ignore Michael. Okay, so along with all of these tales, of course, come sightings.
Tales.
One of history's most well-known fibbers, Christopher Columbus, in 1493.
Why is he a fibber?
What do you mean, why is he a fibber?
He was a classic gentleman.
Okay, moving on. In 1493, says he spotted three sirens, or mermaids, which he said were not as beautiful as they are represented due to some masculine features in their faces. But these are actually considered to be sightings of manatees. Oh, man. Just jumping on the bandwagon, you know?
Yeah, there's nothing feminine or either. I've see manatees often living in Florida. We'd go over to Crystal River and we'd go fishing. And as you idled out into the Gulf, there'd be tons of manatees. And they did not resemble...
A mermaid?
Nope.
Are you sure?
Positive.
A merman?
Nope.
Henry Hudson saw some mermaids during his second voyage on June 15th, 1908. Members of his crew reported seeing a mermaid in the Arctic Ocean.
That's a chilly, chilly mermaid.
Of course Blackbeard has seen some mermaids, right? He even instructed his crew to steer away from charted waters, which he called enchanted for fear of merfolk.
That was the Bermuda Triangle.
These sightings were often shared between sailors and pirates because they believed that the mermaids not only brought bad luck, but would bewitch them into giving up their gold and dragging them to the bottom of the sea. You know, like modern day wives.
Yeah, it's pretty similar. It's just on land.
Is that how you feel?
No, I don't.
Do you feel like I've bewitched you out of all of your gold and I'm dragging you to the bottom of the sea?
Well, that was a swing and a miss because I'm not sure where the gold is.
I don't know where it ever was.
Me either. But look, I'm up for checking the bottom of the sea for it. I mean,
two sightings were reported in Canada, one between 1870 and 1890, and one in 1967.
Get out.
1967.
In 1967, somebody thought they saw a mermaid.
Oh, don't worry. We have a Pennsylvania one. Look, there's stories in 2009.
That's acid. That's not a mermaid. That's LSD.
A Pennsylvania fisherman reported sightings of a mermaid in the Susquehanna River near Marietta in June of 1881.
That's just down the road here. That's not far.
In August of 2009, dozens of people reported seeing a mermaid leaping out of Haifa Bay waters and doing aerial tricks. The Israeli town of Kiryat Yam offered a $1 million reward for proof of its existence.
I agree.
I'm sure they kept their $1 million.
I'm sure they did.
When you have mythology, any kind like this, obviously it's going to lead to some hoaxes.
Sure.
The fairy hoax, you know, plenty of hoaxes. The alien.
UFO hoaxes all over the place, yeah.
The Fiji mermaid is just one example of this. This was an exhibit in London in 1822. And later, one of our favorite showmen, P.T. Barnum, showcases it right here in America in 1842.
He was a genius.
An investigator claims to have traced the mermaid's manufacture to a Japanese fisherman, naturally. Although this piece is billed as a mermaid, it has also been referred to as Barnum's Merman in one piece of journalism. It literally looks like a shrunken head with a tail.
So somebody sewed a half of a head or half of a person onto a fish or something?
I don't know. It might have probably, it could have been parts of a, like a chimp or something.
Yeah.
I will be posting pictures of that specimen on Instagram and probably sharing it on Facebook. For those of our listeners that want to
have a look-see. We're up to 200,000 listeners? 300,000?
Yep.
Nice. Keep it coming, guys and girls.
So, a similar fake mermaid at the Horniman Museum has also been referred to as a merman. And even though this piece was cataloged as a Japanese monkey fish, DNA came back inconclusive and it was determined to contain... no monkey parts, only fish parts. So, China was really crushing it in the fake mermaid department. Okay, putting together monkey and fish parts, very creative, to dupe the silly Europeans. But Europe soon caught on and had an equivalent industry that used dried rays.
Really?
Yep. So, it's good on you, China.
It's kind of like the early version of the sea monkeys when you would look at... Yeah. The sea monkey box is like, man, look, they look like mermaid people. It was brine shrimp.
Mermaid people.
Yeah.
Mermaids are said to not be the fun-loving, singing creatures Disney has showed us for our whole lives. No, no, they are not.
Well, Disney does a really good job. They'll take a fairy tale that's meant to scare the hell out of kids and turn it into something squishy and lovey.
So sirens are said to use their beautiful singing voices to lure sailors to their island so they can seduce them and then slay them and devour their bodies with razor sharp teeth.
Yep, modern day.
Modern day what? Just women in general?
Yeah, relationships.
I'm sorry, you've had so many bad experiences.
It's okay.
Sirens were constantly present in Greek mythology, even appearing as one of the obstacles for Odysseus. In Russian tales, as I said before, the Russulkis are half fish, half women creatures that are the lost souls of women who drown themselves in the ocean because of unwanted pregnancies. And now they angrily sulk around the ocean, preying on men and children, taking them as payment for their own deaths.
Fair.
In the tale of the Little Mermaid, the sisters talk about the dead bodies of sailors that sink into the sea. They rise to become mermen, but unlike the mermaids and mermen born in the sea, these mermen rise like zombies, except with fish tails and fins.
So are they slaves?
No. They are described as carnivorous creatures, much like sirens.
Okay.
They travel in packs. I've nicknamed them wolves of the sea. Hunting down passing ships and devouring any unfortunate souls that are cast into the sea. So, sea zombies.
So don't walk the plank.
So, I'm going to give you some mer babies.
Ooh, is this the scary one?
It is a little bit scary. It's sad, but it's scary.
Okay.
These are actually called water babies. This is a Native American legend. Water babies are very mysterious and very dangerous. They live in springs and ponds or streams. They usually take the form of a beautiful human infant, but in some tribes, they are reptilian in appearance and have fish tails, and they only have the cries of human babies.
Huh.
So they look nothing like a human infant. They just sound like a human baby crying. The cry of the water baby is said to be an omen of death. In other tales, it's only bad if you pick up the crying baby.
Well, don't touch the crying baby.
So if you see an infant crying in some water and possibly drowning, leave it alone.
Run. Why didn't you help it? Have you not read about water babies?
Oh my God, you'd go to jail.
So fast. Or not, maybe not jail, but a home for the mentally wackadoo.
So Idaho has one of the scariest urban legends of water babies.
Okay, now I lived out there for a little while.
Uh-huh.
So what part of Idaho does this come from?
Massacre Rocks.
That must be up around Coeur d'Alene, up in the top.
It's said to be a terrifying place.
Because Lake Coeur d'Alene is up that way too. So.
It was once long ago home to an awful incident, and it is said to be now haunted by ghosts because of it. So they call these ghosts water babies, of course, and they make their presence known to the brave souls who go to the banks and just sit for a while and listen. You will start to hear the cries of babies. There is a famous configuration at Massacre Rock, the state park known as Gate of Death or Devil's Gate. The name of Massacre Rock was given by immigrants from the fear of possible ambush by Native Americans.
Oh.
So where do water babies come in? It's believed that the Native Americans who first lived in the area went through a harsh famine. And they just didn't have the food or the means to feed everybody. And so mothers were forced to drown their own babies
as they were born. So they resorted to cannibalism? Did they drown them to eat them?
No, no. Or they just drowned them. They just killed them.
Oh, so
I don't know if they ate them.
So they didn't have to worry about feeding
them. That's worse.
Yeah.
They say that after the babies were drowned, they changed and grew fins and gills in order to survive the water. People have reported seeing these water spirits playing in the canals. It is also said that the babies lure humans to their death in order to avenge their own sad deaths.
Creepy.
And like,
is this
there's
still part
several.
Of Idaho, or this is Native American.
No, it's in Idaho.
Okay.
There's still, I think, people drown there all the time.
What's it called? Massacre Rocks.
Mm-hmm.
I might have to look that up and see what part of Idaho that was.
Massacre Rocks State Park. That's what we got.
That's not the
that's
end
a
of the
brief
show.
History.
Oh,
on
there's so
mermaids.
Much more about the mermaids. There's got to be. I mean, I want to talk about
Thank
the 2,000 foot long
for
mermaid.
We're talking about your disdain with.
I'm, It is not disdain.
Michael's going to start doing research for us instead.
No way. You're too good at it. I'm not. I'm just sad. I was really enjoying it. It went by so quick.
Yeah, I know. It did. It went by really fast.
You know what? It's southern Idaho. It is not Portland. I mean, it's legit. Twin Falls, it's an hour and a half from Salt Lake City. Get out of Dodge.
You're welcome.
That's super cool. We should go out there.
We literally just said that we were going to avoid it.
Now I want to go.
Of course you do. So yeah, that's what we got on mermaids.
It was actually really good. I enjoyed this episode. I did.
Learn some stuff about some mermaids.
I did. I liked.
That's so fun.
I hope you leave the motorboating in.
Oh geez, so much editing. So we're actually probably gonna be slipping in a little ad from one of our fellow podcasters.
Oh.
And you're gonna hear that at the end of our episodes, probably from now on. And what are we doing next week? So this week was our urban legend-ish kind of thing.
Is next week true crime?
No, next week's not true crime. We're probably just going to talk about some random paranormal thing, like telekinesis or something.
Cool.
Or I'll just come up with something obscure.
Well, I'm really enjoying watching the podcast grow and getting more and more listeners, and I look forward to you guys sounding off and sending in some messages on Facebook and Twitter. And a shout out to all the other podcasters who have been listening to us and giving us shout outs.
Oh, I learned, or no, I didn't learn. I did learn today, but I listened to this podcast today, Unpredictably Us. Very great podcast. They're super supportive on social media. Literally every time somebody asks for a recommendation, they're putting our podcast on it. And it's like nice. So nice.
Unpredictably Us.
Yeah. Sounds they're cool. Very funny. Super great. So I totally suggest doing something like that. We're probably going to look at doing another interview soon. So I've been talking to a couple people.
I think you should interview me.
I don't think so.
Oh.
If I did that, then you'd spend 25 minutes on your phone Googling stuff. And everyone would be like, what? What's happening? Okay, well, I hope you guys have a good rest of your day, good night, good morning, whenever you're listening to this. And we'll see you guys next week.
Are you into history that's strange, weird, bizarre, creepy, and crazy?
Maybe even spooky and scary with some monsters and mystery sprinkled in?
Then You Totally Made That Up is the podcast for you. It's just like the name says. We tell you stories that are so unbelievable, they sound like someone must have totally made them up.
Here's the thing, though. We don't focus on legends and lore. Our tales are filled with names and dates and all the facts we can find. So they're true stories, even when things try to take a supernatural, paranormal turn.
We've been known to bust myths on occasion, but mostly we just have a good laugh at all the things that can't and can be explained.
Check us out on all your favorite podcast platforms and look for new episodes on Thursdays. We come at you bi-weekly with occasional bite-sized bonus episodes in between.
You can also find us on Twitter at YTMTU Podcast and on Instagram at You Totally Made That Up.